Thankful for the sweet fellowship that we have here at Eastern Gate among the believers here, and we certainly do. And the men of our church have wonderful fellowship together, and we worship together, and we meet together and pray together, and we go out and share the gospel together, and the sweet fellowship around the things of God. We join around the Word and study it together. So thankful to God for all the men of our church. And thankful to God that the Lord added Jerry and Becky McCorkle to our church fellowship this past year, and that they have been a part of our fellowship, and I've grown to love them, and I especially love the good work that God has done in their lives. Amen? And be able to be a part of that, and I've asked Jerry to come and share with us what God did in his life when he saved him and how God has been working in his life since then. So he's going to come and share his testimony with us this morning.
Blessing to be here. I'm one blessed man. You know, God let me live for this day. Amen. Rightful so, I should be dead. I got my sons here today, got my mother here today. I'm bragging a little bit, Pastor, if that's okay. I got my mother, my sisters, my nieces, my nephews. I got friends I haven't seen for 20 years or longer. I got my church family that have not heard most of my testimonies. Some of my testimonies, I'll shock you, but it's all the glorified God. It ain't nothing about Jerry. It's about glorified God. My wife gave me these before I came up here. They're called tissues. I may cry. Probably will cry. It's not weakness of the heart. It's meekness of the heart. Amen. I seen the time when my heart was harder than a rock. I had a stone for a heart. I wouldn't cry for nothing. But God's rushed in and softened the heart. And today's tear of joys, not tear of sorrow. I was raised in a good family. My father was a bricklayer. We was raised on a little farm. Before my father got saved, my mother did the best she could. She walked us down 1 mile to the church every Sunday morning, like four ducks in a row. I got four siblings. She'd walk us 1 mile every Sunday to that church up on a hill. She did that Sunday after Sunday. My dad wasn't saved then. I had a good upbringing. We didn't have a lot of money, but they did the best they could. Actually, I was poor, real poor. Sometimes in the wintertime, our pigs ate better than we did. That's the truth. We ate out of dumpsters. A lot of times had to eat out of dumpsters. But we had a good upbringing. My daddy got saved. I wasn't saved. Didn't mean nothing to me. On my birthday, 16 years old, I went to church downtown. And I went to church looking for girls. I didn't go to church looking for God. And I seen this little girl way up front. And I sat in the very back. I didn't like being up front. So I eased my way up. I asked this girl on my birthday when I turned 16, can I sit there? She said, yeah. Sit down. It's my wife today. We've been married 39 years by the grace of God. I gave her all the biblical reasons to divorce me. God wouldn't allow her to divorce me. She tried many, many times, but God wouldn't let her divorce me. God put us together, and I'm so blessed to have her. We've been together 44 years, been married 39. When I met her, my wife was a Christian. I wasn't. when we started dating, she knew some of the addictions I already started. When I was growing up, my mother's mother, my grandmother, lived with us. She was a smoker. When she went to bed at night, I would steal her cigarettes at age 12. And I'd go out in the woods and I'd smoke cigarettes. It wasn't for long. I was a full-blown addict on cigarettes. Back then, you could buy them at any age. You didn't have to be 18, 20. You could buy them at 12. And I would cut grass and I would make money. And I think they was 30, 35 cents a pack. And I'd go down and buy my cigarettes. Well, I found out in school I had cigarettes. And I'd go to the other couple guys that were smoking. And I started getting some new friends. I started fitting in to the school where I really didn't fit in before. I wasn't good in sports. I was sort of a loner. But when I started smoking cigarettes, I started fitting in. And I thought that was pretty cool. Then I always hung out with people older than me. And then I started drinking beers. And I started smoking pot. And I started getting more friends. And I thought I was all that. Had plenty of friends, smoking pot. Now, my wife, I mean, she wasn't my wife then. She was my girlfriend. And for a while, I hid it, but it all came out eventually before we ever got married. And my wife loved me so much, and I'm going to tell on her a little bit. My wife loved me so much that she left Jesus for a short while. You know, the Bible says that sin's fun for a season. But Satan don't show us the end of the story. Satan shows us the beginning of the story. He shows us the good times, the partying, the drugging, the drinking, the smoking, the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll. He don't show us the end of the story. He don't show us when we're hopelessness. He don't show us when we're jobless. He don't show us when we're homeless. He don't show us when we have no friends, no family. He don't show us that part at all. As time went on, my wife said, I guess if I can't beat him, I'll join him. So she started partying with me. And we got married at 21 years old. And I was a mechanic at a Ford dealership. And I never wanted to be poor. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to have money because I didn't have money when I was growing up. And I went into management when I was 23 years old at a Ford dealership. My wife was married. We had her first child. And I started making more money. Because I went into management, my drug escalated from cigarettes, from alcohol, from pot. So I started taking pills. And then I started doing cocaine. And I'm 23 years old, and I was a manager. And at age 27, I'm with one of my technicians. And it's embarrassing to say this, but I have to tell my story. We was injecting cocaine at my house. Him and I was, and I was his boss, and he's my technician. And I'm putting needles in my arm, injecting cocaine. The next day they found him. He's 23 years old. Next day they found him with a needle in his arm. He was dead in his mother's bathroom. Why God took him and not me, I don't know. Maybe it's for this day. You know, I said, Jerry, you better quit doing that stuff. You're going to be next. You better quit doing it. So I quit injecting cocaine. I just started just snorting it. My wife, she's not doing none of that stuff. She just says, you know, you're way out there. But she loved me. She stayed with me. And my addiction got, you know, I would use only on the, in the month. I'd work all week long. I paid the bills. I was responsible. And, you know, I justify my actions. I work hard. I deserve a buzz. And I justify those actions. But that month that I would use, it went to every 3 weeks. And then it went to every 2 weeks. And then it went to every week. I was using cocaine. And as years went on, I got a promotion where I was working at to be a service. I ran the company. I got promoted. One of my technicians is sitting back there when I was the manager. He's not a technician now, but he's sitting back there. He knows what happened to Jerry. But anyway, my life started, I started losing reality. I started doing cocaine every day. I got introduced to a crack pipe, and I started smoking crack cocaine. I started smoking cocaine, which is crack. And that's when my life, that's when I became a monster. That's when the demon, and nobody's, I don't want to lose you because I mentioned demon, but I know what happened. That's when the demon came in, made a monster out of me. I was smoking $50 a day, 75 hours a day it went up, 100 hours a day it went up. My life's just spiraling out of control, no bills was getting paid. My wife was going, my wife didn't know all this. My wife was going, why are we behind in the bills? You're making all this money. Why are we behind the bills? I said, honey, we're slow at work. And I'm just lying to her. My wife was very naive. She's not naive no more. She's been educated. I'm glad for it. But why are we behind on the bills? We're slow. And I'm smoking 100 hours worth of crack cocaine a day. A week. And everything is just coming down on me. I've been at this dealership for 22 years. And one day I just said, I just can't do it no more. I can't do it. I'm just, my bills are just got me swamped. My wife is trying to fix me. My mother's trying to fix me. And so I went to the owners and told them, guys, I went to the owners of the dealership. I said, guys, I got a problem. I'm addicted to drugs. And they said, we kind of figured that, Jerry. They said, what can we do for you? I said, I need to be detoxed. I said, okay. How long? I said, 7 days. After 7 days, it's out of your system. I said, okay, we'll pay for it. So I went down to a program. I went down to a place in downtown for 7 days, and they paid the bill. And I got out, and I went to work. And by lunchtime, I was high. Well, I lost my job after 22 years. A good job, good benefits. And, you know, I didn't want to be a drug addict, but I was a drug addict. So I told my wife, I says, I want help. I want to put myself in an institution for 30 days because 7 days wasn't long enough. She said, okay, where do you want to go? And I said, well, I'm going to go back downtown. So my wife, we packed her back my clothes, and I'm trying to fix myself. I am trying to fix myself. Okay, what do you want to do? So I said, I want to go downtown, institution for 30 days. Packed my clothes, went down there, completed the whole program. So I got out. I got a phone call from Ford Motor Company wanting to know if I'm okay. I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm done with drugs. I'm cleaned up. They said, we got your job over in Indiana, service manager. Go over and talk to them. They hired me on the spot. I lasted 20 days. And I relapsed. My wife, she's getting pretty fed up. My mother, hurt. I blamed it on the program. I said, that program wasn't no good for me. I said, I need to go to a different program. She said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, there's a program at East End, 30-day program. I want to go out there. I believe they can fix me. She said, okay. Packed my bags, went out there for 30 days, completed the course. I got out. I was clean for about 3 months, and I relapsed. Those 3 months, my mother, my sons, my wife, they're up here. He's finally clean. He's finally got it. And all of a sudden, boom. We put our loved ones on a roller coaster. We're up one time and down the other. Up one time and down the other. Every time we do good, they're doing good. Every time we're doing bad, they're doing bad. My mother's praying. My wife's praying. And I said, Becky, I says, I don't want to be a drug addict, but I am a drug addict. She said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, I know too many dope people here in Louisville. I got to move. She said, where am I going to go? I said, I'm going to go to Texas. I said, your sister lives in Texas. You think she'll let me stay there? And she said, well, I'll call and see. So she called her sister, and I moved to Texas. Got away from all the madness there in Louisville, Kentucky. Went to church every Sunday morning. Went to church every Sunday night. Went to church every Wednesday night. For 4 months, I lived in Texas. My wife's trying to keep the house. My wife's trying to keep the water and lights on. She made about $200 a week. My son, my youngest son, was at home, my mother. And after 4 months, my wife come and see me at Christmas time. She said, how you doing? I said, I'm great. I'm just great. She said, you look good. I said, yeah, I feel good. She said, you ready to come home? I said, yeah, I'm ready to come home. So got home. My wife's on the top of the mountain. My mother's on top of the mountain. My son's on top of the mountain. He's finally got clean. He finally did. After all these years, he finally got clean. I got a phone call from Thompson at RV. It's an RV company over in Indiana. He knew my past. He wanted to know if I was okay. I said, I'm fine. He said, would you do some consulting work for me? And I said, yes, sir, I sure will. So I went over and did some consulting work for him for 30 days. He said, I'd like to hire you to run my company. And I said, okay. So we talked, and he hired me. 6 months. I've got 6 months clean. I got a paycheck once Friday. I said, I'm not addicted no more. I can do a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm not addicted no more. It's been 6 months. Well, if anybody knows addiction, they know where I'm going with this story. I disappeared for 3 days in a company car. Of course, the owner, he's calling the police, stolen car. I've done been in and out of jail. My mother's crying. My wife, my kids. My kids hated me. They didn't so much hate their father. They hated the sin, but they couldn't understand the sin. So they hated me for what I did to their mother. So here I have been to two institutions. That didn't work. I moved to Texas for 4 months. That didn't work. One day I got a letter. Moms, dads, I want you to hear this. One day I got a letter from my mother, and she loves me with all her heart. She wrote a letter saying, I don't know who you are. You're not the son I give birth to. I don't know who you are. If you ever come over to my house again, I'll have you arrested. And the reason why she wrote that letter, because every time I went over there, my dead mother didn't have much. But what they had, I took. Every time I'd go over there, I'd leave something be missing, be a chainsaw missing. I took her debit card and cleaned their bank out. They might have had $300 or $400 in their bank and took every penny they had. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not normal thinking. If that's not demon possessed, what is? That's not normal. But I didn't care. I had to feed that demon. And she wrote me a letter. She said, if you ever come over to my house again, I'll have you arrested because you're not the son I gave birth to. I didn't care. I didn't care about that letter. I didn't care what she thought about me. All I cared about was getting high. I'm trying to feed this demon. Now I'm up to $200-$300 a day on crack cocaine. I cashed in our retirement. We had a little over $100,000. I cashed it in, and I spent it in 8 months. I spent every penny we had that we saved. My wife didn't even know it. That did it because the money was in my name, not hers. After I cashed in all the retirement, then I started selling everything I own. And I made good money, and I had boats, and I had motorcycles, and I had guns, and I had bows, and I had all the stuff that the world can give you. And I'm searching for pleasure. I'm searching for joy of what the world can give me. And the stuff didn't do it, so I turned to drugs. My mother wrote the letter. I didn't care about the letter. My wife met me one day and she says, I can't do it no more, Jerry. My mother and my wife tried to fix me for 10 years. They was not able to fix me. Then they start taking blame for my actions. My mother goes, well, if I wouldn't have spanked him as much as I did, maybe he wouldn't be using drugs. Maybe if I told him I loved him more, maybe he wouldn't be using drugs. My wife said, well, maybe if I maybe would have cooked his supper on time or maybe cleaned his clothes and put him up, maybe he wouldn't be using drugs. And that's what our loved ones do. They start taking responsibility for our actions. And it's not their fault. But that's just what they do. Drugs not only hurts the persons on drugs, but hurts the loved ones and everybody around them bad. My mother and my wife and my sons and my friends and all my brothers and sisters, I had them on an emotional roller coaster. And my mother and my wife tried to fix me and tried and tried and tried. My mother wrote the letter. She ended it with me. My wife says, I'm done. I can't do it no more. I'm leaving you. I said, you are? She said, yeah. I said, well, are you divorcing me? And she said, no. She said, I'm gonna file for a year of separation. I want to divorce you, but God's telling me no. I'm going to file for your separation, and I'm going to leave. And I'm moving to Tennessee. And she left. My sick mind said, I can party now. Isn't that sad? I can party now. I just lost my wife. I just lost my mother. My kids hate me, my friends. And I said, I can party now. What's wrong with that picture? House is in foreclosed. No lights in the house. No water in the house. Grass is 3 foot tall because no lawnmower because I ponded. I didn't have nothing left in the garage. I started looking around the house. I said, well, there's a refrigerator. I get $5, $10. Get $10 from the stove. And I emptied the whole entire house to feed that demon. Winter came. Got cold. There wasn't no heat in the house. There wasn't no electricity in the house. And I'm drugging as much as I possibly could. Stealing, knocking on the neighbor's doors, lying to them, telling them I need gas money. Going to the gas stations with an empty gas can, saying I'm running out of gas. Just lie to feed that demon. I had no heat. It was freezing, so I left. And I hit the streets, and I become homeless. I never would ever think I'd be homeless, but I was homeless. For the first time in my life, I had a good wife, a good family, and a good job, and now I'm homeless. And when I left the house, I left with an old car. It had 250,000 miles on it. It wasn't worth $200, and the clothes on my back. No money. I've done burned every bridge there is to burn. Nobody's going to loan me any money. I've done lost my mom, my dad, my sons, my wife. And I'm still a full-blown addict. And had no feelings at all on what was going on. So I'm thinking, how can I feed this demon? I started watching banks. I was going to rob banks. I had to do something. And then I found out that the dope man goes, if you loan me that car, I will supply you dope. And man, I had it down pat. Day one, loan my car, he gave me dope. Day two, had my car, he gave me dope. Day three, day four, day five. I have not ate. I haven't slept. We call it a binge. I haven't slept for six days. At 12 o'clock at sixth day, I'm calling him phone, calling his phone, calling his phone. He never would pick up. And then the last time I called, the police picked up the phone. They said, who is this? I said, my name's Jerry. So-and-so's got my car. They said, well, so-and-so is in handcuffs. I said, well, where's my car? He said, we released that car to his uncle. He said it was his uncle's car. To this day, I don't know his uncle. That was 10 years ago. I lost the only last thing that I had to my name was my car. All I had left was the clothes on my back. My family's gone. My job's gone. My car's gone. I haven't ate. I haven't slept. And I had nowhere else to go. Throughout my addiction, I knew I hurt my family so bad that I hated myself. I tried to commit suicide twice. But God wouldn't allow it. God would not allow it. He had plans for me. So the night my car didn't come home, it was 12 o'clock, 2007, October the 1st. I'll never forget it. 2007, October the 1st, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was laying on the floor. I'm coming down. My high's gone. I said, God, I give up. I give up, God. I said, I need you. Father, I just ask you right now, Father, forgive me my sins that go in my heart. Just like that. I started bawling like a baby. I mean, I went into a feeble position and I cried like a baby. And then I started rejoicing because I knew I was set free. I just knew without shouting out that it's over. It's finished. 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't wait to get up and call my mama. I got up next morning. I didn't have two pennies in my name. And there was a black man who lived downstairs. And I went down there and knocked on his door and borrowed 50 cents. And I said, "Could I borrow 50 cents? I use the phone." He gave me 50 cents. Back then, 10 years ago, we had phone booths, believe it or not. Just 10 years ago, we had phone booths. He loaned me 50 cents, and I went and called Mom. I said, "Mom, you ain't going to believe what happened. I got saved." She goes, "I can't help you. I can't help you, Jerry." "Mom, I got saved. I can't help you. I can't help you, Jerry." She's heard it. I've applied to her for 20 years. Why should she believe me now? "I can't help you. I can't help you, son. I'm sorry." I hung up. I said, "What am I going to do now?" I went back to the crack house. They had a pile of cocaine on the table and made me sick to my stomach. For the first time in my life, I didn't want it. I locked myself in a room. I heard all the drama that goes on in the crack house all day and all night. And I prayed, "God, please get me out of this. Please get me out of this mess. I don't know what to do, God. Please help me. Please help me." Next morning I got up. I went to the same black man. I said, "Can I borrow another 50 cents? I need to use the phone." He gave me 50 cents. I walked down to the phone booth. I called Mom again. I said, "Mom, you have to believe me. You have to believe me. I really got saved." She said, "I'm going to have your sister pick you up." My sister's sitting back there. She picked me up. She goes, "Where you want to go, JDAC or Tim Brook?" I said, "I want to go to Mama's." She said, "You can't go to Mom's. You can't go to Mom's." And I said, "Mom said I can come home." She said, "You steal one thing from Mom, I'll have you arrested." I said, "Dear." She took me to my mom's. My mother looked at me. The first time she looked at me, she started crying. She started cooking. The dishes are rattling. Go get the fattest calf. She said, "Go get the fattest calf. The Parkle sons come home." She started cooking. She cooked. And I ate. I haven't ate, guys, for 7 days. She fed me like a king. And I went to bed and I slept for 2 days. And I woke up. I told her what happened. And we prayed. And I called my wife. My wife goes, "Yeah, sure, you got saved." She's heard so many lies in her lifetime. And I was okay with that. I didn't give up. Every day, I called her. Prayed with her, read the Bible with her. Mom fed me. I started getting a little stronger. I started cooking steaks for my daddy out on the grill. My dad was, I was having a ball. I'm with my mom and my dad. I'm not with my sons yet, not with my wife yet. But I'm with my mother and my father, and I'm saved by the grace of God. And I knew it. After 30 days, Dad goes, "Why don't you take my car and go look for a job?" I went down to the library and punched in for a manager. That's what I did. I managed. I started managing when I was 23 years old. And this Meideke needed a manager over in Indiana. I went over there. He goes, "I've never been interviewed like this before." This man goes, as soon as we sit down, he goes, "Sir, what's the most important thing in your life?" I said, "Jesus Christ." He said, "That's the answer I want to know. That's the answer I wanted to hear." This man just bought this store, this Meideke store. He's never been in a car business in his life. but he's been a Christian for a long time. I've been in the car business all my life, but been a Christian for 30 days. Now, if that ain't God's work, that's God's work. God put me in a place where he would strengthen me in my Christian walk, and I would help them in their automobile business. Let me tell you what took place October the 1st, 2007. John 3:3 says, God be born again. I got born again. When you're born again, you got to renew the mind. When you got renewing the mind, you no longer want the world. You don't have no desire for the world whatsoever. When you get born again, your language change. When you get born again, your music change. When you get born again, you don't drug. When you get born again, you don't have selfishness and self-centeredness. That's what born again is. I've never knew what it meant to be born again. I want to say this before I turn it over to the pastor. A couple more things, and I'm done. You feel like you got the world, the weight of the world on your shoulders every day? Are you fighting those demons and you just can't get rid of them? Have you tried over and over and over and over and doing the same thing? Are you truly, truly born again? You know, the Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, Jesus says, the order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. If you're not born again, we cannot go to heaven. Are you truly born again? Pastor.
Let me just remind you that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And Jerry's testimony is an example of that. But it's not just true of Jerry. It's true of every person who's in Christ. That is, those who've received Christ genuinely as Lord of their life. And that is, the old you passed away. Whatever it was that characterized the old you, just our sinful, ungodly nature. And you became a brand new person when God saved you, a new creature. And the reason why is because of the fact that God's life came alive on the inside of you. At the moment you turned to Christ, he gave you eternal life and changed you on the inside. And everything changed from that moment on and in your life. That is, if you've experienced a new birth, if you've really met Christ, if you really know him. Let me ask you the question that ought to be obvious to all of us. Has there ever been a time in your life where you really met Jesus? You know, not that you join a church or become religious or, you know, read the Psalms or talking about those kinds of things. Has there ever been a time in your life where God revealed to you that you were a sinner, that your problem was that you were lost and separated from God, that you needed him more than you needed your next breath, and brought you to the end of yourself, where all you had was Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection as the answer, and brought you to the point of resting your faith and trust in him and what he did, and changed you immediately on the inside? You became a new person. Have you ever had that experience where God saves you? May not have been from a life of drugs, but it wasn't the drugs that was the problem. It was the sinful nature, the old wicked heart. That was the problem. That's the problem that every person has. Have you ever met Jesus? In just a moment, we're going to start singing. And if God is dealing with your heart and speaking to you, you need to respond. You may be like I was as a teenage boy, who not only had never taken drugs, but had never smoked a cigarette, had never drank any alcohol. None of that. But I was as lost as I could be, as separated from God as I could be. It was on the Sunday morning service, as God was operating, that he brought me to the end of myself as a sinner and to the point where I knew that I needed Jesus. And I got there on the altar and I began to cry out to God and ask him to save me. Just like Jerry said he did down there in that crack house, he just cried out to God and asked him to save him. And down there in that altar, as I struggled with my sin, God brought my heart to the point where I just rested all of my faith in what Jesus did. And in that moment, when I finally trusted Him fully and what He did for me on the cross, right then and there, it was over. It was finished. Have you ever had that experience in your life where you've met Him? Not where you trusted in yourself, not where you trusted in your prayer or the pastor or some religion, but where you put your trust in what Jesus did for you when He died for you on the cross and was raised the third day. Have you met Him? Let's stand together. In just a moment, Brother Greg is going to start leading us in a song. And if God is dealing with your heart and speaking to your heart, if you need to respond today, if you need to get in this altar and pray and cry out to God, if you need somebody to speak with you, I'll be here. Other men will be here. Jerry will be here. There are others that would love to help you and pray with you if God is speaking to your heart. If you need to come, would you come as we sing? What number, Brother Greg?